time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's time now for Abandoned Manitoba, where we say hello once again to Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Shanalee.
So what are we talking about this week?
We're going to describe some projects here in Manitoba that are using QR codes to make visits to historic places more informative.
Just in case any listeners aren't familiar, can you explain what a QR code is?
Yeah, a QR code, they've been around for almost 30 years. QR stands for Quick Response. It was invented in 1994 by a Japanese company for maintaining inventories of automobile parts. The code consists of small black squares arranged in a grid on a white background. So in other words, the thing is white and black. And when the camera of a smartphone is aimed at the QR code, an app on the phone analyzes the grid and converts it to an address on the internet. Essentially, it's an easy way to convey a potentially long and complex web address and enables the bearer of the smartphone to go to that page quickly and easily. Although the original uses of the codes were industrial in nature, they've been widely adapted for many other purposes. For example, some listeners may remember going to a restaurant where they had a QR code on the tables. Diners could then scan the QR code and see a menu on their phone. But there's lots of other applications in the realm of history.
Oh, like what?
Well, my first experience with QR codes for a history project was back in 2012. I was a member of a committee that was marking the 200th anniversary of the arrival of the Selkirk settlers here in Manitoba. We planned to put up a commemorative plaque on a wall inside the legislative building, and I had the idea of putting a QR code on the plaque so visitors to the building could get more information about the Selkirk settlers. Well, we submitted a design to a committee that approves plaques for the legislature, but our proposal was rejected. And the basis was that the QR code, well, the committee felt QR codes were a passing fad. Well, the past decade has shown just how wrong they were. You know, QR codes are now commonplace all over the place. There's been several history-related projects in which the codes have been used successfully, two of which I was involved with, and I'm sure there are many others of which I'm unaware.
What were your two QR projects?
Well, the first was in 2014. I worked with the rural municipality of McDonald to mark the sites of 16 one-room schools that had operated in the municipality through much of the 20th century. All the school buildings are now gone, but I was able to determine their exact locations using air photos taken about 70 years ago when the schools were still in operation. At each of the former school sites, we installed a metal sign made in the shape of a symbol that had been used on old maps to denote the location of a school. It was a square with a little sort of flag on top. That was sort of the outline of the sign. Each of the signs had on the face of it the name of the school, the years when it operated, and a QR code. And if you scan that QR code, you'd go to a page on the website of the Manitoba Historical Society where we provide such information as the names of teachers of the schools and photos of the building itself.
What about your second project?
Well, then it was the very next year, 2015, I did a similar project with the rural municipality of Morris to mark 32 one-room schools there. In this case, the school signs looked a little different from the ones in McDonald, but the basics were the same. It named the school, and it gave a QR code linking the sign to an information page on the Manitoba Historical Society website.
Those projects marked places that are now gone. Have QR codes been used on places that are still present?
I know of at least three examples. In 2013, the Winnipeg Architecture Foundation initiated a walking tour project. And the idea was they attached decals to over 150 buildings around Winnipeg, and a QR code on each decal led to a web page that provided more information about that building. In 2020, a group in the rural municipality of St. Andrews completed a project. This one was in time for Manitoba's 150th birthday, and in which a large rock was placed on each of 23 lots along River Road. River Road was one of the places where some of the early first traders settled when they retired. And so on at the end of each lot, there was this rock, and it had a QR code on it that linked to an online document that contained information about the original owner of that lot back in the 1870s. The third QR project, well, it's a little different from the others in that it uses the codes to raise awareness not so much about Manitoba's history, but its natural history at a place called the Frank Skinner Arboretum.
Where exactly is the Frank Skinner Arboretum?
It's located near the Lake of the Prairies, north of Russell in western Manitoba. There, Scottish immigrant Frank Skinner began experimenting early in the 20th century with plant breeding. He became world famous for his development of plants that were well adapted to the prairie climate. The arboretum around his former home contains a huge collection of trees, and earlier this year, his son, Hugh Skinner, launched a QR code project. When a visitor to the arboretum scans a QR code next to a specific tree, they're taken to a short video where Hugh talks about the characteristics of that species. At the moment, there are 13 videos about such species as white spruce, sugar maple, and Rocky Mountain Douglas fir, but Hugh plans on 25 other videos on other species. The videos are wonderful, and they illustrate the potential for creative presentation of information using QR codes. In other words, they're not just for reams of text and photos, but also video. And this leads to the final QR code project that I'll mention this morning, one that is nearing completion at the Manitoba Agricultural Museum near Austin.
What is that museum doing with QR codes?
Well, the museum has one of the largest collections of antique farm equipment anywhere in Canada, and most of its artifacts are in working condition. You know, they actually run. You know, unfortunately, although the museum is open year-round, and if a museum comes at other times of the year, well, they can't see and hear those machines work. They run during the summer, but they don't run them, for example, during the winter. So the plan is to put QR codes on many of the machines that link to information pages and will contain videos of the machine in operation. So if you visit the museum in the dead of winter, you'll be able to see the museum's machines in operation.
So we have QR codes for schools and other buildings, trees and farm machinery. There must be other historical applications as well.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's many ways I think that QR codes have been or will be used here in Manitoba and elsewhere to make it easier for people to learn more about historic sites, even if there isn't, you know, a tour guide or someone knowledgeable to present it to them, to tell them about these places. So if anyone is interested in visiting virtually some of these places that I've talked about this morning, I've put links to all of these projects on the Manitoba Historical Society website. It's at mhs.ca/QR. And in fact, if I learn about other QR code projects, I'll add links to them too. So if listeners know of any other projects, by all means, let me know.
I'm going to be looking at QR codes in a whole new light. Thanks, Gordon. What's up for next week?
We're going to answer the question, what is a heritage object? There are presently just two of them in Manitoba. And I know this sounds like a surprisingly small number, but all will be explained next week.
Thanks so much, Gordon.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.